Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show for the middle of the week. It's Wednesday, everybody. And we're taping a little later than we normally do because we have a West Coast author on the show, and I'm going to show something that I've never shown everybody. Let's bring our author in. Her name is Amy Tintera, and she has written an amazing book called Listen for the Lie. We will speak with her in just a second, but before we do that, I want to show you something to show you that I crammed for my exam.
Oh, no.
Because I didn't do my homework diligently. I waited. I was too diligent, and I waited till the last second. So there it is. There are my little...
Oh, your book lamp?
My little book lamps that
up
I had.
Late last
because
night?
Because Mrs. O'Mara was sleeping, and I couldn't, you know, I don't
like
subscribe.
Mike, what? If you adjust that lamp, it looks like you could pick up Channel 7. It looks like TV antennas on your book.
There you go.
Yeah. There it is. Very nice.
Amy, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. And I think you've already probably realized how professional an outfit this is.
I love that little book lamp. That's amazing.
There are two things that this does. I'm not doing a commercial for a book lamp, by the way.
No, we're doing a commercial for the book, Mike.
But I know people are going to say, where did you get it?
where did you get it?
This is twofold. I no longer, at my advanced age, successfully read by lamp on nightstand. Mm-hmm. Or even like in a regular room. I need to have the light on top of it. I'm just trying to turn this off.
But do you need
now
two lights?
What?
It's a double. Do you need two
lights,
Rob,
to read? Yeah, Rob, I need two lights.
Well, you're okay? The one who brought it up. Don't bite my head off.
So I just, I use it because it really enhances the page. And I really have to say that I wish we had had you on at the beginning of the summer because this is, look at this. This is just page after page of awesome.
Oh.
This is awesome. This
Thank
is
you.
Awesome. And you know I love me a good... I think the term page-turner is overused in the publishing community, but this man, I mean, I love when it's off the aircraft carrier, as soon as you pick up the book,
Zoom.
And like nothing I have ever read in the thriller genre, because it involves... I don't consider what the podcast that she writes about, Amy, that you write about, you're here. I'm sorry. I don't consider it the kind of podcast we do, not even close. We are kind of radio guys that did a podcast after they put us out to pasture, so we're here. But this book involves a podcast that's one of the murder serial kind of podcasts that's out there. And
True Life
it's
Crime.
Just, before we get started, I just want to compliment you on really putting the work in. I am so... in awe of people that can write, and you do a great job. I was looking at some of your biographical information, and it says you got your start in writing, doing young adult novels, and I have not read those, and I'm curious what is that genre? I'm not even familiar with the genre of teens. Is that what it is for books for teens? Is that what young adult novels is primarily for?
It is, yeah. It's books for teens, primarily like starting at age like 12 or 13. And a lot of adults read them as well. Like Hunger Games is a YA novel. A ton of adults have read Hunger Games, Twilight, that sort of thing. So I wrote a lot of those.
Well, they claim that this is your first foray into the adult thriller genre, and you dive right in with a book about a podcaster. How did you get the idea?
Well, so my very first true crime podcast, like a lot of people, was Serial. Okay. And so I listened to that like on a road trip, just straight through 10 hours, and I loved it. But it was years later that I sort of decided to combine that with my idea to write a book that was great on audio. I love audiobooks. I think they have a big potential. And I thought this is the sort of book that could be great just in hardcover or in audio.
Josh, you dove in with audio, right?
I did the audiobook, and I was very impressed because it was multiple voices, some music added, so you know when it's the podcast versus the author or the storytelling.
I'll definitely.
So it was awesome.
By the way, Amy, I like to inform all our guests that Josh does not pronounce consonants. So if you're concerned about the fact that storytelling,
just the ing.
Okay, that's just it. The ing. But this is super cool, and the characters are wonderful, and it's about murder. But I don't know when I was. I think in the credits of the book, at the end of the book, you were talking about 2 years to put this whole thing together. And you know, it's not like you just go into a room and start typing into a computer. This took a while to put together.
It did. It took a long time. Especially, I wrote a couple YA novels during the same time, so I kept having to put To Listen for the Lie to the side. But sort of putting together the podcast and Lucy's narration ended up being really difficult, especially because the podcast, a lot of it happens like in real time as she's listening to it. So it was just a tough balance to strike. It took a long time.
I'm not giving you a spoiler alert when I tell you the book goes in between the narrative of the main character, Lucy, who and the podcast. It goes back and forth, and you have a transcript, essentially, of the podcast that's going on, and a great couple of characters. Well, the characters all throughout the book. I was going to highlight, and I didn't do it because I just didn't get around to it, of a one line that comes from the grandmother that involves the mother doing something naughty and something along the lines of I laughed out loud because the book has a tremendous amount of humor in it as well, where it's got murder. It's got great looking people, first of all. That's
yes.
the thing. It's got lots of and they're climbing all over each other in this book. I mean, it's just nonstop. But the my favorite character is the grandmother in this book that is just fantastic. And she makes a comment to the mother that made me laugh out loud. I'm so proud of you. And it was just awesome. And so you had all the elements. You have all the elements that would indicate this book could be a movie. But have you always been interested in the thriller genre? Do you have any favorite authors out there that you like in particular? Stephen King gave a great review of this book, too. But it's neat. Who are some of your faves out there?
I sort of got into the thriller genre several years ago. The Silent Patient was a big one for me. Like I read that one and I really enjoyed it. It's, it has the same sort of page turner short chapters sort of thing. And, Gillian Flynn, of course, with Gone Girl and Sharp Objects, especially those were a big influence on me, even though she is much darker than I am. I loved those books.
You put more humor in yours as far as you've got a lot of comedy in this book as
dark
well.
Dark humor, I would say.
Very dark humor. But great. Yes. Well, that's my – I love
that's
dark
you.
Humor.
Yeah.
And so it's really involving the podcast. Did you do any kind of research with podcasters when you were putting pen to paper for this book?
I listened to more of them since I had listened to Serial years before. I started listening to true crime podcasts sort of in the morning before I would start writing so I could get the voice in my head. So that was really helpful. Yeah. Cause you want to get the voice right.
Did you check out any of the dumber podcasts that are out there? Like maybe this show?
I don't think I listened to any that I thought were dumb. No,
I don't think I could solve a crime. I don't think I could do that.
Say, Mike, this show is a crime.
the host of the true crime podcast is much more good looking than I ever was at any time in my life, and it's awesome. Rob, go ahead because I've got so many questions about the book, but I was accused by a listener the last time we had an author on. It might have been James Patterson of being
of giving
James
a book
Patterson
report.
Accused you?
No, he didn't. One of our listeners said, oh, okay. Mike giving his book report. So I'm trying pointedly okay. not to ask about all the plot twists, like the grandmother, and I know all the names of the characters. I love the book, and Emmett. I'm not saying anything more. Go ahead, Rob.
I don't want to do a book report, but I do have a question about construction. I love scripts, and like over this is, I'm trust me, I'm coming to something. Over the pandemic, I watched every episode of Columbo, and I love the construction
Timely.
Of the way. Mike, it, some people would say it was a groundbreaker because it revealed the crime in the first chapter.
Right,
now you essentially reveal the crime in the first chapter, and then you work backwards to get it. It's always seemed to me that construction-wise would be damn near impossible until everything is in place. How did you do it that everything is really coming back to what's on page one?
You know, I think it just took lots of rewriting, honestly.
Okay.
So when I started
did
the book
Did you catch yourself making mistakes that you had to correct when you went back?
Many. Like
I
changed a lot of things. Like I knew the ending pretty much right away. And so I was writing to the ending, but everything in the middle just changed a lot because I just kept going in the wrong direction or something was going wrong.
Yeah.
Rewriting.
But that had to be a pretty bold adventure for someone who is a storyteller, because I don't imagine you use a lot of that, I won't say trickery, but those gimmicks and those sort of construction points in the young adult stuff. Because you're obviously a great storyteller if you're writing young adult fiction. Is there a different mindset when you tell this story as opposed to you? Because it's all just storytelling when you get right down to it. You've got this story and you've got your young adult stories. Did you take a different tack when you wrote this as opposed to your young adult stuff?
I think so, because the young adult stuff was more external, really. There's a lot like bigger plot points, like things were literally exploding. Everything was very heightened because teens tend to have, you know, like really big emotions.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was a little more internal and it was a little, I don't want to say slower because it's a pretty fast-paced book, but YA is just a crazy fast pace. So.
Okay.
I forgot to ask you about your young adult novels. Can you give us a couple that people might be, you know, to check it out? Some of your real popular ones that people might want to read?
My first one, Reboot, is like a dystopian, sort of like Hunger Games, about teenagers who reboot after death. I found that one was really popular. It's a fun sort of action adventure and also has some dark humor, because I can't write books without dark humor. So
we're talking to Amy Tintera. The book is a New York Times bestseller. Listen for the Lie, murder podcasting, lots of sex. And it's really, really fascinating. When you are writing a character for your book, I did this more than I've ever done with another book. I always put a picture together in my mind. But in this particular book, I have no idea why, I cast it. I cast the movie as I was reading it. And I put Jennifer Lawrence in it, and I put Margot Robbie in it. And I did that right away.
Getting...
Oh, you're nodding. You're nodding. I just want to know if I'm close with that. That in my mind, I was kind of going, how do you do that? How do you picture these characters when you're going? Do you picture a photograph in your mind and then write the description of the character? Because I'm curious about that.
I think they're a little fuzzy in my mind because I never think of actors when I'm writing. So I think mm-hmm. there's sort of like a fuzzy outline in my mind that I could try to flesh out on the page.
Do you have you sold this yet? Because this to me would make an amazing film.
Oh, perfect movie.
We're hoping. I don't have any news yet, but hopefully.
God, you should. You should. I mean, it's been out a relatively short period of time. I do love. I cast the grandmother too, but unfortunately, probably too old for the grandmother. But who's the lady from Downton Abbey? Who's the matriarch?
Not Dame Judy Dench. I know who you mean.
No, Judy Dench could do it though. Maybe.
Yeah.
She had an American accent. What am I doing? Anyway, this book is really, really so much fun. And so Rob sort of asked this question of you. You get to, it's a thriller, and we really don't get the resolution until the very end. How, when you get there, before you even write the book, do you have an aha moment and you say perfect and then you dive in, or do you let it happen as you proceed through the writing process?
I let it happen for sure. Like I said, I had the ending, but actually the big twist in the middle of the book, I had been writing the book for over a year before I got to it. So sometimes you just have to write for a while and see what the characters tell you, you know? Well,
that is so very cool. Like, and I also think that, Rob, you're not going to be, you know, drink Maggie Smith. That's right. Yeah, you're not going to like this record because you don't drink anymore. But I found myself really, really wanted to drink more heavily after I.
Just because I don't drink doesn't mean I can't want to.
There's a margarita scene in the book that just makes me want to put it down and go to my Iguana Mia just down the street and go. Now, were you you are from Texas. You're from Austin, Texas, and a lot of your books center around Texas. Do you find the state of Texas great fodder for your fiction?
It really is, because I feel like it's a unique state. It's a huge state. It's like very different north to south. And it has a lot of weird characters. And I love complaining about the weather, so I can complain in the book a lot about how hot it is.
We could do that where I'm from Southwest Florida. And we are right now just at about the time where you go, this is silly. Why am I here? It's month after month. The book is essentially about friends. Women who are friends and grow up together, and mean girls, and the evolution of those friendships. It has a lot. That subject of the mean girls, it's prevalent throughout the book. Did you experience that personally a little bit?
I think all women do. I think a lot of women growing up, you experience the mean girl and the intense friendship, and sometimes, you know, with the same person. So I think it's a very universal experience with women.
And as far as the men, I didn't want to be misogynistic when I said this, but the guys are pretty much all dicks in this book. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. Do we have no, we really don't. Even the guy you're supposed to like, I don't really like.
Diner, the guy that's at the diner that finally recognizes Kelly when she first comes in. I thought he was nice. He's just a throwaway character.
The red-haired guy?
No,
you mean the kid that was serving the food?
Yeah, that's the only male I can think of.
The kid that was serving the food and it was picketed his pimples?
Yeah, that's the guy.
That
don't
dude?
Don't you want him? Don't mean girl him, Mike. He's a guy. He has wants.
And I know you have to read the book to know what we're talking about. Were there any, the men in the book, were there any that you were more sympathetic to as the author?
I like Ben. Maybe I had.
You liked Ben a lot. I could tell.
Yeah, you could tell.
You were hot for Ben. There was no doubt about it. Absolutely.
I liked Ben. I thought he was charming and fun. But yeah, I hear from a lot of people that a lot of the men aren't likable. So maybe I just have bad taste. But I liked Ben.
Well, I think it has to, Mike, it has to do with the fact how many people in podcasting that we know are Ben.
I don't want to get too personal. To be honest with you, the publisher's bio on you is, I don't want to say cryptic, but it's not, it doesn't go deep into you, into your personal life and where, you know, is that by design? I'm just curious about that.
No, not really. I think I just wanted to put sort of just my professional stuff. I have a hard time with bios. I never know what to write.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask you a few personal questions? Like, are you married?
No, I'm not.
You're not married. And have you met in your travels anyone that would be like any of the characters in the book?
Well, so the grandma is sort of lightly inspired by my own grandma, who was like feisty lady. Yeah.
Oh, that's gotta be fun. Oh my God. I had frail, nasty old aunts growing up. I didn't have anybody that was boozy and ballsy and kind in any way.
So you
that's
come
maybe
by
an,
it honestly,
an Irish
Mike.
Household. What?
You come by it honestly then.
Yeah, I'm not. That's why I've been described as prickly by
and
this.
Boozy and ballsy.
And onward and upward, you're going to become it's one of the. I mentioned when we had James Patterson on the show, that factory that he generates. Is this going to be the full fledged dive into adult fiction now for you, or you're gonna churn one out every few months? You said you were still writing the young adult novels as you were writing this.
I was, but no more. So I'm done with the young adult novels now. So I am going fully into adult thrillers, not as fast as James Patterson because he's very quick. But yes, there will be. I'm working on my next one right now. So
will we see any of these characters again?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Maybe. I'm not doing a sequel, but you might see some.
That's great.
It's awesome. If you really want to have some fun and set aside some time, because I tore through this, and really, I come from American University, so my reading comprehension.
Maybe you should have gone with the audiobook too, Mike. Yes. You don't need
like
light for that. You don't need light
for that. That's the Irish guilt too. I feel like I'm cheating.
You're not. You know,
if I dive into it. But obviously, Josh indicates that a lot of time was put into the audiobook. So
yeah, it's very good.
That's worth it too. And check it out. It's Listen for the Lie, Amy Tintera. Amy, man, first one. You got to be thrilled with the response this is getting.
Oh, for sure. Yes. They're grateful.
It's awesome. Congratulations on this, and I look forward to having you on when your next book comes out. And maybe I have an 11-year-old. Can I pop some of your young adult novels over to him? He's very advanced. He's smarter than I am, so I might try that. I'm
Why
an older
not,
father.
Mike? He's very advanced. Why don't you start him with this book?
Well, there's one scene where there's a lap involved. Anyway, that's it. Now you know I read the book. Thank you, Amy. Congratulations.
You,
and we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. We'll talk again, hopefully,
Have
when your next
day.
One comes out. Okay?
Yes.
Thank,
awesome.
You.
Thank you.
That's Amy Tintera, ladies and gentlemen. Listen for the Lie is the book. And really, I know it's polite, but now she's not here. It's phenomenal. Yeah. Didn't you find it phenomenal? I found it absolutely phenomenal.
I sat down, and before I realized it, I was 110 pages into it.
I get when people knocked me for a book report. I wasn't going to give away. You can't do it in this book. It would wreck it.
No,
I would wreck
no.
it for you if I started giving. But they're amazing. But the grandmother is my favorite character. Yeah.
There is one life lesson I pulled from the book is that I'm not the only person who imagines killing people. I think that's a very great trait that's in that. You've never imagined killing someone?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I do it on the road. Probably more than any other time.
My college program director from radio.
Oh, what is his name? Because you always
Robert
bring
Fleskus.
His
Mike, I had a dream where I could feel his neck bones crushing under my thumbs. I felt it in the dream.
Oh, so you even had it in a dream as well?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've had many, many dreams about
many people.
Maybe that neck crushing.
But anyway, yeah, it just sort of the neat thing in the construction is you've got the narration, you've got the subconscious, and you've got the voices. It's just brilliant storytelling. Wonderful.
It really is. And go out and grab it. The fantasy I have when I'm driving a car is that I have the James Bond 50 caliber machine guns in the front of my car.
Yes.
But they're even more powerful than 50 caliber, and I can be driving along, and I press the trigger, and it just like disintegrates the car in front of me. And I say to myself, cut me off. You know?
No, but I only kill people I know.
You're gonna like what happened to me yesterday.
What?
Over the weekend, I came out, I think it was Tuesday, and I see the tire warning on my left rear tire, and I see it's gone down. And you know how you can tell right away whether it's something that you've let a little air out or something really, and then the next morning it was even lower.
The tire kind of looks like this. Hi, I'm your tire.
It was such a drag, and I take it down, and I was after hours, and the dealership was closed, but there was a tire place open across the street, and they took a look at it, and I think it was Tires Plus.
Oh, Mike,
I'll give them a plug because I don't know if the chain's everywhere across the country, but it was really awesome the way they did it for me.
Everyone does
it's
tires.
Down here.
It's great. They were
everyone
so nice.
Does tires, but Tires Plus. The plus is what's great.
This is a question I have about the whole tire game. The guy comes out and is nice enough to take a look at it. They didn't charge me for just looking. It was sure enough a nail. Sure and begorra, it was a nail in the tire. And they came out with a piece of information that I believe I have heard maybe 20 times in my lifetime.
Uh-uh.
The tire is not fixable. It cannot be patched. And I don't know. I think that might be the standard issue line that every single tire place goes. I also found out, and I found this out a long time ago, that tire stores and car dealerships compete, and so the prices are more competitive than you would think. They're not all, you know, because a lot of things in the dealership are way more expensive, but in many cases, the tires, they know you're going to go across the street because it's a tire, so right. They have to be competitive with the tire prices. But this business of not reparable because it's located on, you know, not in the middle of the tire, but isn't it like a flexible...
Yeah.
Patch kind of thing. Mike, and what's the difference? That's how they get you, Rob.
The lie that I get is, well, we could replace one tire, but we really should replace two or four so they're all the...
Hello.
Oh, no.
Hello.
Oh, no.
All right, I'll jump ahead. They couldn't fix it.
I'm so sorry.
They told me to take it to the dealership, and I said, can I get by? They filled it full of air, and it was just the next morning where I had to put more air. And I've got a full-fledged. You saw that compressor I have in the garage?
Yes.
I've got a compressor in the garage.
For
a tiny
balloons,
little one.
It's for, normally like, for balloons, but...
I have a series of air compressors and tubes of helium. And then when I smile a certain way, drool comes off my lower lip.
I've hired Mike to pull a kid down into the drain.
No,
I've hired Mike for four parties, and he does balloon arches like nobody's business.
In the business of children's entertainment, I'm a god. It's Uncle Buck, by the way. So. Yes. They come around, and I know what the problem is because the other place took a look at it. And the guy goes, yep, there it is. I say, hey, thank you for that. Thank you for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, thank you.
This is at the dealership. And,
okay.
But it's cool because the dealership lets you drive right in, don't have to make an appointment, and they'll deal with you right away, although they didn't have the tire. I'm still waiting for the tire to be put on as this show is
taped. Hold it. The tire for the car that is from that dealership and they don't have it in stock?
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sloppy.
But they
ordering.
Did the game. They did the game.
Of course.
And here's the thing. They go around and he's got his little tool and he's mad. That's all they're doing. They're not even looking at what needs to be. They know they have to put a tire on. And they're checking the tread. And
the penny trick. You can use the penny trick.
The car's got a little over 10,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And they're doing a little thing like that. And then he gives me the price of the tire, which I will not share here because it's embarrassing. So I don't want to share it with you. It was $1 million.
Oh, Mike, that
much
seems
the tire
high.
Cost.
That seems very high.
And then he says, and you know, the tread on the other one these electric cars, the torque just chews up the tires.
That's different. My dad, the last time he got hit is when he was driving a Volkswagen. Is it a Touareg? And they said, I don't know about your tires, man. These are heavy cars. They go through tires. It's a heavy car. I said, they know how much the car weighs when they build it.
There's always going to be another reason for them to blame.
Yeah.
So I tell the guy, no, I'm just going to just repair the one that's got the nail in it. And he comes around. There were two guys on the car. There were two guys chatting and going around. One guy with an iPad and another guy that's like doing the little test and stuff like
that.
And the other guy's making a note. And then he comes around, the guy that told me, you know, the torque really chews up his tires. And he walks across. And his buddy at this point is behind the little podium, the little service podium.
Sure.
And I will look at him. And I swear to God, he does this. He looks at the guy and he says, one. Okay. And the guy kind of gives him a disappointment. We didn't get him for two. We didn't get him for two this time.
Oh, they're that open about it.
I don't know if they knew I was staring at them when they were doing that, but
they also didn't think you could figure it out because you know what the level they're at.
So I'm still waiting. We're waiting. And, I'll see what. Hey, by the way, can we congratulate our own Josh Soroka on the Baltimore Orioles? Who took over first place for the New York Yankees last night?
It's nice to play the worst team in baseball. The White Sox, I think, have about 20 wins for the season.
I think the White Sox have historically the worst season of all time this year, right?
They're terrible.
Yes.
They're really terrible.
Bad.
But, my team fading into oblivion right now.
The quote I read about your team today was that they were standing in the locker room staring at their lockers as if it was a funeral.
It's terrible. It's terrible since the All-Star break. And they did what they do. And Rob knows this. This is what my teams do.
What's that?
Fill me with hope.
Yep.
They get me in. I don't watch them now. I don't watch them anymore. I don't care. I could care less now.
You still look at the highlights. Come on.
I looked at the highlights the day before yesterday. Mm-hmm. That was it. I haven't checked it since. I hear that they lose. They lose. But the Mr. Oriole over here is very excited. And you say that it's the White Sox, like you don't have confidence in your team
to go
head-to-head against the New York Yankees.
I do. The Orioles are very banged up. Mm-hmm. We've got enough people on the injured list to field a whole nother team. So
is that
that's
man
concerning.
Boy? Is that man boy the one that looks like he's eight?
That's about four or five of our guys.
Holiday,
yeah, they're doing fine.
Holiday's doing fine. Have you seen Holiday?
Mike, they come into the locker room. Holiday's on top, but they stack three or four Orioles and they wear a huge coat. And they walk in, and he has a fake mustache.
Is he the son of the major leaguer?
He is the son of Roy Halladay.
Roy Halladay, okay. And he looks like he is 4 years old. He has the baby face of baby face, and he's an amazing athlete, right?
He's 20 years old. He's very good. I believe the pitcher for us yesterday was 20 or 21 as well. We just have a really young team.
Yeah. By the way, I didn't mention young. To Amy when we had her on the show that you can tell she writes young adult novels as well, because this is a very, would you not say this was a very youthful book, really?
Yeah.
College-age girl that just, she might be 30. She might have just turned 30 or something.
I think it was targeted to me. And I think all good books feel like they're targeted.
Well, we found that book because my wife dug into it this summer. And it was the one of those sit by the pool and don't leave the pool until it's finished.
So
and your
good.
Wife but, is 19,
she's,
right?
Well, she's younger. She's in her 30s.
Okay. Tell her thank you for the recommendation. I appreciate that. And bring me more authors. I love talking to the authors.
It's fun.
Even though I feel, a sense of intellectual inferiority when we speak to
it doesn't show, Mike, when your lead question is about a book light.
Which I still don't understand.
This is the
two
somnolite.
Years.
This is the somnolite.
Well, because somna meaning like sleep? Sleep light. Is it battery? Is it rechargeable? How do it do? Mike, you look like Uncle Martin.
I'll put them both on. This is fun. You got nothing but time. You got nothing but time here. Here we go.
That's how you should have done the interview.
Yeah, and
hi, welcome.
It.
Welcome to the show.
Yep.
I just flew out of my nest. Why can't I get it right? There we go. Oh, there we go. There it's perfect.
Yeah, now it's right.
Somnolite.
Speaking of which,
yes,
I had an Uncle Bob, who had alopecia, or a variant of it, meaning that he had no hair on his head. And it was no big deal. I grew up, I was used to it, but what flipped me out is when he would wear a toupee because it didn't look like him. But one time he was playing Martian with his son Patrick, who was my age. And to play Martian, you know those guns that used to be spring-loaded and they would shoot little suction cup bullets maybe about 6 inches long?
You'd take the dart and you would push it into the gun and then you would fire.
Well, what Uncle Bob did is he put two of those suction cup antennas on his head because it was hairless. And they were Martian antennas, and they had a good time playing with that. But then when he took them off, he had two hickeys on his head for a week. Because
what a lovely story. You should write a book.
I should not.
If you wrote a book of fiction, what would you write?
I would probably write a lighthearted detective something. But
like murders, only murders in the building, right?
Mike, why do you give me that?
I'm just saying, I know you. You'd write it would be fluffy. No,
as a courtesy to you, I haven't even brought up the fact that it's back and it's sensational. All right.
I would write a book about
I didn't ask.
I thought. Oh, hey. Hey, wow. First time he's f***ing laughed since the show started. That's great.
What you would
two,
you write?
You two pals. Yeah,
stop
they're always
it.
Against me. Everybody's
stop
against
it.
Me.
What would you write?
I would write a story about a father and son. I would write an epic, a Avalon-style epic that mm-hmm. would include a life and all the things. It would be very, very long and self-serving and probably not really well-regarded. Because I admire the ones that are, quote, page turners, where you go bam, 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 bam.
Another topic I would consider is a period piece set semi-rurally, but not like in a total rural environment, in the 1920s and 30s. Like,
I have always wanted to write a period piece, but not the kind you would want. I would write one about with a series of my nom de plume would be the name Jessica, and I would write a series of stories about women in their periods.
You could only write 4 days a month.
That would be what I read. Oh, stop. Don't ruin it. I thought it was nice and subtle.
I might have
and
elevated
funny.
It.
No, you did not. No, it. You've never elevated anything with a body function ever on this show. Never. It has never happened. Listen, before we get out of here,
yes.
I do want to mention Vegas is officially 2 months away. We'll tell you about it later in the show, but 2 months away. And I'll turn it over to our favorite Vegas person, Josh Soroka. Josh, what do you have to tell everybody about Las Vegas?
Keep getting the tickets. I know lots of questions came in about schedule. Friday night, we'll do something. Saturday night, we've got the event. As long as you're in town in the hotel by 7 p.m. Friday, you won't miss anything that weekend. Book your
hotel
rooms.
We will not do anything earlier than 7 p.m. Friday evening.
If, no, and we will do something Saturday during the day.
It's going to be casino-oriented, and then Carla's got the ladies' brunch that we will arrange for Saturday. I would look for an 11 a.m. start for that. That's probably what time we're going to do that. All right? That sound good?
Yep. And then if you're having any trouble with the hotel info link on our website, just give the hotel a call. And if they're a huge pain, just let me know, and we'll get involved.
Okay. All right. So that's it. Just remember, it's literally 2 months away. We are going to be in Las Vegas. And we understand that a lot of you hold on and wait, but we do have tickets available, and we want you to be at the show. We are excited about it. And we are going to not only be in the casino with you on Friday night, but we have the live show on the Citrus Pool Deck at the Downtown Grand Hotel on Saturday. That's just going to be a regular podcast like we're doing right here.
Right.
We're going to do a poolside. And then afterwards, we're going to come downstairs and we're going to hang out again like we did informally. We just wanted to let you know that we're going to be there. All this fun is happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, the weekend of November 9th at the Downtown Grand Hotel. We'll mention it again before we get out of here today. And we look forward to seeing you there. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun. And our thanks once again to Amy Tintero, author of Listen to the Lie. And thank your wife, Josh, for hipping us to that book. Really a lot of fun. We'll take a short break. And later in the show, we've got some beautiful video and more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. As you set resolutions for 2025, consider how learning a new language can enrich your life, whether through travel, career advancement, or cultural appreciation. Learning a new language can help you connect with others and explore new cultures. Here's a great idea. Learn a language as a fulfilling New Year's resolution. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users. They offer 25 languages like Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. Plus, Rosetta Stone has no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value. This is a lifetime membership. You can keep learning from now until forever. Start the new year off with a resolution you can reach. Today, Mike O'Mara Show listeners can take advantage of this New Year's special of Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today and do it right now. People are busy. And between work and home and everyday tasks, who has the time to stress about website security? What you need is Kinsta. Kinsta takes care of the technical stuff so you can focus on what you do best. Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and unmatched human-only customer support. No matter what your business is, Kinsta makes managing your website easy and efficient, so you can spend your time on what matters most. Kinsta also gives you complete peace of mind by ensuring that your WordPress sites are always online, secure, and performing performing at their best. And thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, Kinsta ensures a smooth transition from any other hosting provider, so you won't experience any downtime. So, big guy, are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited-time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He's an enigma to those that know him, and a lone voice whose only goal is to help others.
Who's ready to cash in?
The chase for a Lombardi Trophy begins this week, and your football weekend doesn't start until you hear from the prognosticator of Perum. Nicky Diamond is back.
Hop on the Nicky train, because we're about to get paid, baby!
The 2024 football season is here. Don't make your picks until you hear from the authority.
This season will be legendary.
Nicky Diamond, Thursdays, only on The Mike O'Mara Show.
Wow. Hey, The Mike O'Mara Show is proud to welcome a new sponsor, Nurture Life. Yes. As a parent, I don't need to tell you how busy I am or how busy you are. That's why you need Nurture Life. You see, Nurture Life is a meal delivery service focused on helping busy parents easily feed their babies and kids from 10 months old to 10 years old. The company provides fresh meals and snacks that are delicious. I know an 11-year-old that enjoys it as well. Ooh. Delicious, nutritious, and fully cooked. Ready to serve in just 1 minute, Nurture Life lets kids enjoy a healthy diet while still eating all of their favorites like mac and cheese, spaghetti and meatballs, and so much more. My 11-year-old loves the corn dogs. So,
yes.
What sets Nurture Life apart from other meal delivery services? It's how amazing they taste. That's the most important part. And how healthy they are. That's important, too. And it's even allergy-friendly, which applies to my son. Now, say it with me. Corn dogs!
Corn dog!
It's about time that a flexible meal subscription existed for babies and kids. So head to NurtureLife.com and use code TMOS for 55% off your first order. That's right, 55% off. Once again, that's NurtureLife.com for 55% off. And make sure you use our promo code TMOS, ladies and gentlemen, so they know that we sent you.
Mike, Shannon Fisher in the chat room says you probably would have been all right if you had used the premium air that Carla got in her tires.
Some people just never forget, do they?
I just thought it's nice. It's nice.
Premium air, yeah. Amazing amount of views on that video, too.
Yes.
So Carla's now planning on surprising me at every turn. Like those paint videos, right, where they dump milk all over each other.
Remember that's the guy funny.
Puts yes. the confetti out there. Hey, we start today.
They never show the cleanup.
No, they never show that cleanup. And does anybody know what the substance is? Is it milk?
I'm not going to say anything.
Know. Oh, stop. God. All right, let me dive in.
You asked them a fluid question. You should have left it.
Jeez. I know, and that's why I didn't reply.
A recent study has revealed a tenuous but plausible link between picking your nose and increasing the risk of developing dementia. In cases where picking at your nose damages internal tissues, critical species of bacteria have a clearer path to the brain, which responds to their presence in ways that resemble signs of Alzheimer's disease. A team of researchers led by scientists from Griffith University
in Australia
ran tests with a bacteria which can infect humans and cause pneumonia. The bacteria has also been discovered in the majority of human brains affected by late onset dementia.
Wow. You know what, Mike, I heard is that there's been a link between picking your nose and dementia.
Thank you, Rob. One of us was going to do that joke.
I know.
Maybe Taylor Swift won't be at any of Travis Kelce's games this season. Because according to Britain's Daily Mail tabloid, a really naughty lying tabloid.
That is a bad one. Yeah.
They're going to announce their breakup on September 28th. The Daily Mail leaked pictures of what is likely a fake contract, which details when the breakup will be announced and how it will be managed. It says the announcement will be, quote, gracious, respectful, and stress mutual respect. It will also state that Taylor and Travis are, quote, both committed to their careers and personal growth. They remain friends and wish each other the best.
People, you buy a single syllable of that.
It's funny. The document.
Travis Kelce's PR team came out this morning and said all of that is false.
I don't believe them. The document was supposedly. Yes, I do. The document was supposedly drawn up by a Los Angeles PR firm called Full Scope. But they're denying that it came from them and threatening to get their lawyers involved.
Oh, the people that do this, they probably don't.
Yeah, they probably don't get sued over. You know, well, Tom Cruise, he sued and won against British tabloids, right?
Carol Burnett sued the Inquirer a million years ago.
But they are American,
it's expensive. It's an expensive proposition.
And even if it was all fake, there's no reason to end it. Just double down for the new football season. Amen. You'll make even more money. Worked well for both of them.
Here in the real world, things seem fine. Travis even admitted that Taylor is drawing up plays for the Chiefs. Oh, come on. But he said they all involve him because, you know, it's him.
Right.
You know,
and probably some extra spin moves.
Yeah.
Elvis used to draw up plays and mail them to the Cleveland Browns. True story.
Yeah, because he was super into football and he would actually do that. I popped for the $60 Madden game, which is now out, and I somehow think...
Does it have Madden's voice on it still?
I don't know whether
it does. No, it does not.
No,
I get sucked into it every year.
You do?
Yes.
Don't you think, though, my opinion is that Madden has allowed my son to be more knowledgeable about the NFL than any other sport. Would that be valid?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same with any of those games. If he played the baseball game, he'd know all the baseball players better.
Do you play it with your kid?
I do not.
Oh, so you're really in.
I play by myself and occasionally with my brother.
Really? Okay. And you know, it makes you know all the players, and you do know plays when they're talking about the X's and O's because they're legitimately done. A Herculean effort to put that together every year, I think, right? It's amazing. And the graphics are spectacular. He showed
it looks
me
like
last
TV
night.
Now. It looks like you're watching a game on TV now.
Yeah. It has he wants me to get one of those ridiculously expensive gaming computers, but I think that era has passed me by. I just don't think I want to do it.
Every 10, 11-year-old is asking for a gaming computer right now.
You tell your son, Mike, it's cheaper to buy a helmet and to go play in the yard.
Yeah, well, he has a helmet. Glad we got that. He's not playing baseball. I mean, he's not playing football anymore. But
make him wear it around the house.
Right. it's his new baseball helmet.
baseball helmet.
I want to put that up. I want to put that up so people can buy it. You know.
Yes.
We'll have it at the TMOS auction that we're going to have at the Downtown Grand.
Right.
When
that's
we put
right
all the
after
items on the tables. You know?
Right after my writer's workshop. Right.
It's going to be
put a sticker on the side of that, and it's a TMOS helmet.
Absolutely.
Heritage helmet.
If you visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you can hit up the Voice Your Choice kiosk and vote for who you think should be in the hall. It doesn't actually count like the Rock Hall's annual online vote does. But it's been said that the nominating committee does keep an eye on who the public is backing. They've got a top 20 list. I'll give you the top 10.
All right.
Number 10, Linkin Park. Man, is he ever not on any list? Is he ever not anywhere? Snoop Dogg at number 9.
Okay.
Pink at number 8. Number 7, Boston. Number 6, Weezer.
Boston should have been in last week. I mean, Boston, come on.
Yeah, I think so. Motley Crue at number 5. A lot of these I'm surprised are not in. Weird Al Yankovic. How do you line up on that one?
I think, yes, based on his career, his chart action, and the fact that the industry has embraced him. I think he's great. I think he's musically very smart.
When do they change the name of this from Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to just Music Hall of Fame?
Pop That's Music true. Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
because
it really
a
is
lot
pop
of these
music.
Don't fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird Al doesn't fit. I don't know. It's just number 3 is Styx. Number 2, Blink-182. And who do you think comes in at number one. I will give you a hint. Music genre is favored by Mr. James Tiberius Cerrito.
Is it Ozzy or Black Sabbath?
No, it's not. Because they might be in already. I'm not sure.
I would think so.
But it's similar genre. It's you won't get it. It's Iron Maiden.
Noisy. Too noisy. But there's a lot of valid things on that list. Pink should
like
be
Weird
in there.
Al. He doesn't like Iron Maiden, but he likes Weird Al.
Weird Al is clever and smart. Show me something about Iron Maiden that's clever.
Clever and smart. I don't know. Put you on their tour bus. A study found Rush Hour is evolving. There aren't as many cars on the road pre 9 a.m. anymore because traffic is getting more spaced out. But in a lot of cities, that means there's a mini rush hour all day long. Back in, when did I leave? I'm trying to think when I left the D.C. area. It was all day. It was
we used to
say it starts at 1 o'clock. No, it's just all day now. It's it's traffic constantly during the week.
Yeah, it would end at 10 and start at 12:30.
And now it's kind of probably bridged that gap as well. The report found that the midday rush hour is worse than ever. There are almost as many cars on the road at noon as there are at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. It's been the general trend since COVID hit and flexible hybrid schedules became a thing. You'd think that spreading it out might mean they'd never have a rush hour. But another report found public transportation never fully rebounded from the pandemic. So there are just more cars on the road in general. Isn't that nice?
Do you feel like, Mike, consulting an expert on rush hour? It kind of falls on your shoulders, but I want to know what this guy knows about rush hour.
Are you talking about Rush Limbaugh, the dead?
Right? Yes.
You're not
in order to do my dead celebrities, they have to be in heaven, Rob. You know the rules. They have to have angels and they have to have an echo. I was totally unprepared for that.
Is he around anywhere?
G.I.B., the God and Broadcasting Network, ladies and gentlemen. No.
I'm sorry.
But anyway. I've noticed, besides rush hour, there's always people everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I go to Costco at noon, it's packed. Like no one has to go to work anymore.
And if I'm driving home at like 2 a.m. from somewhere and there's cars on the road, I just scream, where are you going? You don't need to be here right now.
Louis Anderson, back on his debut on the Johnny Carson show, on The Tonight Show, funniest line when he's talking about his father. And his father says, you know, if I was the last guy in the world, that guy would cut me off. That was funny. The traffic analyst behind the report says there's less of a morning commute, less of an evening commute, and much more afternoon activity now, and maybe get used to it. He called it the new normal. So they're going to be there all the time, ladies and gentlemen.
That's why I stay in my basement, Mike.
Traffic. Yes, get out once in a while. Rob, come on. A 24-year-old guy, finally, named Christopher Ganzel, stole a car from a library parking lot last month in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. That's near Philly. Ever been to Lansdale, Rob? Beautiful.
Never have. I've been to Philadelphia, though. The people are great.
You've also been all over the state of Pennsylvania, haven't you?
Of course.
You've been to Punxsie?
I have been to Punxsie. I have been to Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Indiana. Where's Indiana near in Pennsylvania?
Indiana is central, and it's where Jimmy Stewart was born. And they have Christmas tree farms there.
I've been to York. I've been to Amish country up there.
Harrisburg. I used to have a radio gig in Harrisburg.
Some guy left his green 2023 Subaru Forester running. Hey, Subaru Forester.
Well, I've had the Outback now, but the Forester I've had, but flipped.
Well, Chris got in it and took off in it, in the running green Forester. But it didn't. He didn't take it for a joyride. He drove it to a police station. And the reason he went there is the dumbest part. He'd apparently had an earlier run-in with cops and wanted to ask them for his drugs back.
This guy.
They didn't realize that he was in a stolen car at that point, but they did moments later when they got a report that he just used it as his getaway car from another crime.
This guy.
Yeah, he didn't take it from the library and go right to the police station. He took it from the library and then he took it to a nearby Target where he tried to shoplift stuff and was seen speeding off in the same green Subaru.
Mike, the Target was on the way.
So they tracked him down and they arrested him. He's facing two felony charges for unlawful taking and receiving stolen property, plus a misdemeanor charge for unauthorized use of a car. Hold on, that's a misdemeanor? What's the deal? I mean, he stole the car. That's felony. What's going on here in Pennsylvania?
Well, they got a lot of stuff on him. And in Pennsylvania, you know, they kind of hang loose.
Bob Barker says, remember, if you're going to the police station to ask for your drugs back, take an Uber. And please spay and neuter your pets, ladies and gentlemen. Bob. I'm Bob Barker. Green Forester coming your way, ladies and
Wind
gentlemen.
Wind it up and let it go.
There is a man that is very famous, a famous musician that Rob and I feel may be being elder abused. And we will discuss that individual when we return on the Mike O'Mara Show. Unleash your best self with DermGlowSkin.com. It's never been easier. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, have a call with a medical provider, and get your prescription delivered right to your door. Just one injection a week, and you're on your way to losing 21 to 26% of your weight while improving blood sugar, cholesterol, and blood pressure. And it seems every week they're coming out with new health benefits for it.
Yes.
They offer FDA-approved semaglutide and tirzepatide for weight loss, plus NAD+, B12, somorolin, and PT-141 for that extra boost. Get ready to shine in Las Vegas and hop in the pool, Dirk. Feel great and look amazing. Start your transformation today at DermGlowSkin.com. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I approve this message. Rob and I probably commiserated on this subject a few weeks ago, and
yeah.
We've both seen the same video. There is a, you probably know it better than I do, a bit of a controversy online about the fact that they are trotting out Frankie Valli of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, who is now in his 90s,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, I think he is actually 90, which is, that's a lot. Now, if you've seen the movie Jersey Boys, that was based on his career. And I'm sure that he and the Four Seasons are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They had an amazing run of hits and great doo-wop, high voice. He had a great falsetto voice. But they started.
They even made a Broadway smash about the band, right?
Yeah, Jersey Boys. That's the movie and the Broadway thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they started. The first one I saw is that he's singing to track, and
almost hardly moving his lips. The clip that I saw.
Well, Mike, this is great. This person did their homework. They did a 9-year compilation of clips of him hitting the same note.
Oh my!
And it's
God.
Identical every time. So if you pay your hard-earned money to go see Frankie Valli on stage, he's not with the Four Seasons anymore, so he's surrounded himself with four energetic youths that seem to, maybe they think by being over-exuberant, they're going to make up for Frankie. But let's go through the last, 25 years with Frankie Valli. This is 2013. Every one of these is a different concert.
At least he's moving there, Rob.
Yeah, but the thing is the recent tapes of him, he really looks like they're bringing him out like Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
And he's standing there. And I used to feel the same way when I would watch Charlie Watts drum, that he's not moving enough to get that sound. But I found out Charlie Watts is just an excellent drummer. But you can't sing if you don't move your mouth.
Charlie Watts, and to give you some specifics on drumming style, if you look at Buddy Rich, one of the world's greatest drummer, and you watch him, I mean, this is, you see how my head's not moving at all, body's
not
moving?
Your trunk stays
still.
I'm drumming.
That's where the energy comes, right here.
Right.
From this point down, that's what you're doing. You know, if you see somebody bouncing all over a drum kit,
Tommy Lee?
Although Tommy Lee was rocking out, and I mean, a good drummer, most of the jazz-based drummers don't do that. And Charlie Watts was, of course, his foundation was jazz drumming, and that's why he drummed like that. In fact, a lot of drummers drummed like that in early rock and roll. That's the way
but
it happened.
Let's look at this montage of Frankie Valli standing stoic, as my grandmother used
to say. Is this the older guy right now? Do we see the older guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is him just stand. There's a couple. It's again, there's clips.
He's
but
literally
he
not moving. His lips.
He's not moving. And he also doesn't make eye contact with anybody.
It looks like an animatronic.
Yeah, it does. He doesn't move!
Yeah.
That looks, there's a ride at Disney World where they make Ben Franklin climb
the Hall of Presidents.
The Hall of Presidents, exactly.
Oh my God, they made him move. That's fantastic. It.
So here's the thing. If he's getting gratification by going on stage and getting the applause, I mean, they are still, the Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons still adored by their fans.
Yeah.
They really are. Yeah. But if he's getting the gratification, I'm okay with that. I'm just wondering if there, you know, if there's somebody pulling the strings.
Of course there is, and literally pulling the strings. He's worth $80 million. He doesn't need to be doing this.
Is he really worth that?
Sing the song, Mr. Lincoln. Also, when he moves,
was he really talking there? Was it because I heard him?
Yeah. Nah, yeah, I'll go back a little bit.
You know what? You know what's going to happen, Rob? I swear to God, it's going to happen. You're spotlighting this on the show. He's gonna kill him, Josh. That's what's going to happen, right?
And then little whatever the Valli kids are, or the Valli wife. Sally Valli is going to make a lot of money.
Anybody doing any kind of investigative work on this at all? We're just talking about it.
I think it's been more of an internet thing, but people have done the montages. It troubles me. He shouldn't be doing that because you know what? This is a crime for the fans because he's obviously singing to track. He's not making eye contact. And when he walks, it looks like he doesn't know where he's going. It's sad.
You know, go ahead.
Earlier this year, he did get a 3-year restraining order against his son for threatening to kill him.
Really?
So it's not the son dragging him out.
Okay.
Is it Wally Valli?
Wally Valli.
It is Francesco.
Oh,
Francesco
he's a good
Valli.
Boy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to kill you.
Hey, Papa, don't come near me. Look, I think that we'll keep an eye on it. I hope to God. Frankie, if you're gonna, you know, collapse on stage, please don't do it.
I hope he lives longer than I do, Mike.
You know, I'll give him this credit. He's a little guy, but he looks like he's relatively fit, except the face looks a little gaunt.
He forgets to eat.
Okay, that's it. We'll take a break.
God bless you, Francis.
But we've got beautiful video, ladies and gentlemen.
It's really beautiful. Was also beautiful, you have to admit.
Very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. I have curated some stuff for you today that I absolutely loved. And there's one particular thing you're going to have to listen extra carefully to the sound because I think it's similar. But it's a great, beautiful video segment. We've got that coming up for you right after this. Love it when you start with that one. Whether you're a seasoned gym goer or just starting your fitness journey. What your workout really needs is Fitbod. It's a fitness app that customizes each workout based on your goals and adapts them as you improve. Fitbod tailors a personal workout based on your time and equipment constraints, so whether you've got 10 minutes or 2 hours, Fitbod can help you get better with each workout. Fitbod creates a personalized workout routine based on your goals, fitness level, and your available equipment. Fitbod tracks your muscle recovery so you can avoid burnout and keep your momentum up. It's like a personal trainer, but it's better. It's cheaper. It's easier to build a custom fitness plan that works for you.
Have you heard their new jingle?
No. Play it for me, please. You have to pay for that. Add Fitbod to your workout essentials. Join Fitbod today to get your personalized workout plan. You can get 25% off your subscription or try the app free at fitbod.me/TMOS. That's FITBOD.me/TMOS. And we thank you, Fitbod. Hold it before you play the video.
Oh, stop it. Right. Yeah. We're good.
Let me see. Nope.
What, an email from Frankie Valli?
No, I'm just seeing if I got the... No tire yet.
Rob, you think we can start rolling Mike out at 90?
Yeah, of course. Well, we'll have the tracks that he can lip sync.
Right. We've got all the old episodes.
It would be impossible...
Here's Charlie.
...for me to fake it. Well, I don't do the impressions like I used to, so I know. But I will be... I will probably be, a little addled and angry. Just angrier than I've ever been.
Depends on the script, Mike. When we put you in Walt Disney's World of Podcasters. Hall of Podcasters.
All right, now you can roll the...
Here's some beautiful video.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Rob, I've played this a bunch. I think we played this forever the audio version. This is an oldie but goodie to get you started today on beautiful video from the Newlywed Game.
Back in the day. Husband says the one thing he absolutely forbids you to put on his wiener.
Ben Gay.
Eubanks.
You know,
he's the greatest.
When you go back and look at that, in a way, we were less less repressed then than we are today. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. And it all has to do with people being themselves, not being overly aware of what they're doing, and clever writing to trick them into doing it. I mean, we've talked to Chuck Barris. I keep an autographed picture of Chuck Barris in my home. Because he was so smart. He was just letting people be themselves.
You know, and, I have a confession to make. This means I might be getting older. When we had the author on with Listen for the Lie, there are some sex scenes in it. And yes. I found myself, I love the book. I absolutely tore through the book. But I did find myself in some of the sex scenes saying, okay, not too much graphic detail. I really did. And I've never done that before. I just wanted to get to the storyline, you know,
It's that Florida book ban rubbing on you.
Yeah. Rubbing off on me 100%.
That's where we're different, Mike. There's about 8 or 10 pages in the book that are worn out for me. I just kept reading it over and over again.
Bryan Cranston had a career long before Breaking Bad. And
sure.
Bryan Cranston really was a comic actor. He was used in a lot of comedy, including Seinfeld. And, I love the Seinfeld blooper reels. There's one with Jerry Stiller that kills me.
The best one, yeah.
Bryan Cranston had just a throwaway look that Jerry Seinfeld could not get by. And you don't think of Jerry as being a good audience or being someone that liked to laugh. He loved it. He broke up all the time. And this is my all-time favorite of outtakes from Seinfeld where Jerry could not do his scene. Take a look at this and watch Bryan Cranston crack Jerry.
Actually, I'm having dinner with a girl I met at your party. Mazel tov.
Jerry. Hi.
Gwen?
Yeah. Come on, our table's ready.
That's the first one. Gwen?
Yeah. Come on, our table's ready.
Jeez.
magically underplayed.
Now he's cracking.
Come on, our table's ready.
I love that.
That is good. Truly do. I love that one. Okay, Cyclist Hitting Gate. This is the one I previewed for you before we played it on the show today. I want you to give a listen to this. The story goes like this. A guy puts up a fence because he was tired of the cyclists riding by his house. So he puts up a fence and this gate apparatus. Just a giant iron gate, because it's something to do with the bicycle riders that are going by his place.
All right.
Two of these, I think there are three, maybe four of these people hitting the gate. I want you to listen closely for the sound that two of them make, because the reaction to this, it's a really nasty collision, is okay. Very similar. Roll the okay. tape of the people hitting the gate. Now the next guy. There he is hitting the gate. No sound from that guy. But this one. Hear that? Hear that?
Like he might be gagging.
It knocked the air out of all of them.
Oh, that's what it is.
Trying to catch their breath.
Okay.
Because they're going full speed into this thing. And yeah, it is not.
They've been down that path 100 times, and now there's a gate there.
Play it one more time.
I guess you're right.
Because, yeah. I mean, I just don't know how they miss it. Watch it. Sorry. I shouldn't be laughing.
And that's not funny.
You can see the way the road is cut. Yeah. This is a shortcut, like, through the guy's backyard to not wind around the house.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they didn't see it.
Mike, if I were to rank them, 3-1-2. That's my ranking.
And the guy that put up the fence really enjoyed these videos.
Of course he did.
Oh, he
That's why
sure
he
did.
Edited it together and put it on the internet.
Mm-hmm. You know who owns that fence is Frankie Valli.
They wheel him out for that. In the world of the Mike O'Mara Show and all its incarnations, the act of passing gas has been legendary.
Yes.
You know, we for years and years and years. And I have played multiple tapes, audio and video, of people breaking wind. Mm-hmm. But I have never heard one quite as robust as this one on the set of what appears to be a sports talk show, one of those ESPN-style shows. But I'm not even sure the country of origin.
I
believe it may be Germany or it might be Scandinavia. I do not know exactly where. But what I do know is this guy lets loose. He's the guy on the left.
Okay.
And my God, wait till you hear this.
Oh, good.
Ladies and gentlemen, check it out. I don't know why Leo DiCaprio is down on the bottom, but start it from the beginning again, Josh. Start it from the beginning one more time, because I watch it like that.
It's like they mic'd his ass.
And he was not even
flinch.
He run away. He doesn't stop.
There comes souls made books and ass.
You know what? There is a
hold on. It's not over. Now they've all walked off set, and the lady starts to come back. Watch her from the right. She comes in.
Don't
she
go
is losing
there.
It. Another! My God!
Now the cameraman's even backing up.
Yes, the aftershocks.
I don't know why DiCaprio is down in the lower right. You don't need to enhance that type of video. No.
But there is a German caption on it, and one of the words is spelled L-A-K, but it's lactose.
Likes
so maybe he shouldn't have had milk for lunch.
Product. When you have to do any kind of public speaking, one of the first rules is not to laugh at your own material.
Right.
And there's a reference to gummies with this young lady who appears to be at some sort of graduation ceremony. But she's supposed to give a speech, and she really can't get started. Let's roll the tape of this young lady at the high school.
My name is...
She's walking away now because she can't really
gotta get it. Collect herself. Yeah.
Waving her arms.
Could easily be over-medicated.
Might be medicated.
Good morning. My name is Kate.
sorry. Good morning. Okay, my name is Caitlin.
I'm going to teach her now.
I love it.
I do enjoy that.
Yeah, I think she took some anxiety medicine
perhaps
before. Yeah.
Nerves manifest themselves.
Mentioned gummies in the video, which is true. Birds that can kill you. This has a profanity alert.
Hate birds.
Little profanity. Some of it's bleep, some of it's not. But this dude who put this together, this guy, this is not stand-up comedy. This is a guy talking about birds, and he just made me laugh. This is the last one for you that I have today. Check this guy
out. That will f*** you up to an unbelievable extent. Up first, we have the cassowary, a bird who looks like its sole purpose is to enjoy the spoils of war. Native to Australia and New Guinea, because of course it is, these birds are known mostly for f***ing people up with their feet. One of their three toes has a long dagger-like nail that can slice through your femoral artery like a mother cuts through a sun-baked ice cream cake. And it also can run up to 31 miles per hour, so good luck getting away damage-free after making accidental eye contact with this thing. Then we have the great horned owl. This thing is 2 feet big with an 80-inch wingspan, and if you unknowingly go near its babies or its wife, it will beat the shit out of you. In the last decade, a bunch of joggers and hikers have been manhandled by these big-eyed f***ers, so just be careful the next time you're in the woods. Next up, we have the lammergeier. Something with that European of a name definitely has hate in its heart. It has a 10-foot wingspan, and it exclusively eats bones. You know, like a monster would. Attacks on humans are rare, although it is said that an Athenian dramatist was killed when one of these things dropped a turtle shell on his head. At any time, one of these things can show up and kill you in the funniest way possible.
There it is. All right.
I love it. I love it. Wow.
We'll take a short break. Come back with a great video. I love that. So many funny people today. Thank you for that, ladies and gentlemen.
See, Mike, what did I tell you about birds? Don't trust birds.
Yeah, they're out to get you. They're all out to get you, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how birds get you.
Birds. Birds. They're ripping my flesh off. Hey, everybody. Guess what? It's time for our Las Vegas TV commercial.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Roll that, will you, John? Thank you very much.
Hello?
Hello, Rob. This is Mike.
Where are you?
I won't be on the show today because I'm at the bottom of the pool.
Bro, why are you at the bottom of the pool?
It's not just any pool. It's the pool on top of the downtown Grand in Las Vegas. You know, with the Citrus Grand pool deck.
But we're not performing there until the weekend of November 9th.
Don't be an idiot, Spiwak. That's sooner than you think. Don't get left out. All the info for tickets and hotels and merchandise is at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Oh, that sounds great. We'll take over the whole hotel with fun and games and our all-new live show on that very pool deck. But I do have one more question.
Yes?
Are you alone in that pool?
No, silly. Josh is in here, too, in his Cal Ripken Speedo bathing suit.
Help, I'm drowning.
No, you're not.
TMOS Live, the weekend of November 9th at the Downtown Grand Hotel in fabulous Las Vegas. Make your arrangements now at MichaelMaraShow.com. Come party with us.
I've stopped breathing. Revive me by purchasing tickets.
Great read.
I always wonder how my beard darkened so totally and I lost all of my hair in that particular video.
You're just shopping different looks, Mike, that's all.
Yeah, and, it's a little tough to find video of people on the cell phone underwater.
I think you did great.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right, Robbie, you got some video for us?
I do, Mike.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
All right, a question for you. Rachel Ray, where do you weigh in on Rachel Ray?
I don't think the question is where I weigh in. It might be where she weighs in.
No, she's not. She's not put on weight, but I haven't seen her in a while. And she posted a video about the last time she was with Tony Bennett as a dinner guest. And it's a lovely story. But not only does she look different, people are speculating that she may have had a stroke. And if it's not a stroke,
that's not good.
She's certainly drunk. But watch this. This is, I almost didn't recognize her.
This time he came to my house, Tony Bennett ate two portions of Osso Buco. And I almost killed him. I had polished the floors in the kitchen because, well, Tony Benedetto, that's his full last name. Tony Bennett's coming to dinner. I have to make sure the floors are perfect and the house is clean and everything is just amazing. I might have gone a little overboard with the floors, because when I pulled out the chair for Tony to sit down for his starter snacks and aperitivo, the chair slid out from under him and he hit his head on my marble counter behind him.
Does she not even look like herself?
It is hard, absolutely incredibly difficult to tell what's really going on.
I think she's going to have to release a statement of some sort, because she's not been in the public eye in a while. But it's not just that she looks different. It's she's not struggling to speak. She's not slurring.
The it's thoughts, just, maybe. You know, I mean, there's a lot of that going around when you get to a certain. I don't know. I hope she's okay.
Me too.
She does have her occasional
statement is that she loses her voice a lot. And her voice was pretty weak that day.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's going to cut it.
Voice sounded strong.
Yeah, little weird. Little weird with that one. Who knows? Maybe we'll never
But she did not kill Tony Bennett. He hit his head on the counter, but he got up okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Tony, did you have two portions of ossobuco?
I did not. I got out there after one, and then I was attacked by one of those prehistoric birds.
That's horrible.
Hey, baby.
So, there's trouble in Louisville, Mike. You've heard of porch pirates, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the problem in Louisville is not pirates, but someone who is captured with a monkey business by a Ring doorbell.
You probably heard of porch pirates, but what about porch poopers? Don't know any other way to say it. Right now, LMPD is looking for a man who has been using the bathroom on Louisville homeowner's porch all week long. Ward Jolish tracked down the homeowner and spoke with him about being targeted by a porch pooper. Listen, a warning. While we won't show you everything, we won't show everything.
I'm not
may be grossed out by this video.
All right, here we go, Mike.
Really? Thanks for
that. Here's the guy.
It all started with this. Sunday night, a young man in a red shirt walks up to one Louisville home well after midnight and begins peering inside. The homeowners have no clue. After a few seconds, the man runs away in his socks and disappears. But the next night, he returns and leaves a horrific surprise.
Tuesday morning, I went out to my front porch and noticed this, what I thought was a cat poop.
The homeowner, who
he's wearing the same outfit the next day,
we'll refer to as Jim, then checked his doorbell camera and realized it was no cat at all.
It turned out to be a person, and not only did he defecate, but he also urinated on our welcome mat.
Mike,
what did they do to him?
I don't know, but why is my takeaway from it that he's doing it in socks?
No, your takeaway is just pure unbridled joy. That's what your takeaway is right there. That is not right. Not right at all.
Ew. There's something personal about it for him to come back the next day.
I agree.
Now, you know what, Josh? It could be personal, or you never know. Modern medicine, drugs.
And
true, LASIX. It could get you.
And that's why you should know your neighbors.
Yes, know your neighbors well. That's the moral of that story.
The saddest thing, Mike, is that puddle of urine. Tony Bennett slipped in it.
Hey, I fell on my ass.
Mike,
no longer here.
There is a contest that I don't think I could win, nor would I want to win. Would you compete in this contest?
Today marks the first ever ranch chugging competition here at the Harmful Rooster. Ugh. But how do you win? By chugging this 24-ounce glass of their ranch.
Mike, I think you're going to not only enjoy the notion of people chugging ranch, you're going to like the winning disposition. You know, I think for a true athlete to be great,
he has to have
charisma.
Is that you hosting when you were younger?
Mike, that guy has hair. You know it's not me. Okay. But I want you to see the winner, because he wears the mantle well.
10 seconds.
I just drank 24 ounces of ranch. Trust me.
That's all it took for Zach Orvis to chug 24 ounces of ranch to take home the win.
I mean, I've seen people pour about that much on their salads, so what's the difference?
But sure. He had a fair share of competition, including 10-year-old Jordan Peterly.
I'm the youngest person here. Good luck.
Owner Randy Roost came prepared for the big day with what he called just-in-case bucket.
Oh, dear.
24 ounces of ranch. To put it in, that's like two cans of soda but it's ranch dressing.
Yum. Oh,
and
God.
I don't think ranch is as good as people say it is. I'm not a ranch guy.
You'd prefer blue cheese, right?
Of course, with Mike, with a little extra cheese, if you don't mind.
Okay. All right. That's nasty.
But I'm not chugging it. Let's close, Mike, in Corpus Christi. Do you still have the house down there?
Yeah, in Corpus Christi, Texas. I love it. It's fantastic. Really,
Mike, it was a bad day over Labor Day weekend for them because in Corpus Christi, a pig got loose.
The pursuit actually began Sunday morning along the forest near Alameda Street. Two other animal control officers tried to catch the sow, but she proved elusive.
Labor Day is supposed to be one of those days where you relax.
Oh, no.
But instead of relaxing, of course, we're at work, and guess what we're doing? Well, we're sitting here with this family trying to catch that pig.
Marissa and Jordan Fowler luckily had some chicken feed in their car, and that was enough to keep this bristle-haired swine from running away. Then animal control showed up, and this girl decided it was finally time to have some real fun.
No.
She's heading straight for Alameda Street.
Oh, dear.
Luckily, she slows down.
Yeah, I know.
Eventually, these officers' roundup attracted the attention of a number of people who joined the pig posse.
It's fast.
One of those folks was Quentin Hall, who did his best to corral the little pork chops.
That's funny, Rob.
I thought I'd help y'all. Yeah, I like animals, and it's pretty fun. Got my little brother with me. He said he was faster than me to chase him. He couldn't catch him. But yeah, it was all fun.
While Quentin was leading that chase in and out of Alameda traffic, another man actually parked his car in the middle of the street and gave chase. Eventually, the miniature pig gave up, and Otticelli carried her back to the truck for some cold air conditioning. That little girl was sizzling out on the hot pavement.
You know, Mike.
Who has a healthier mouth, the pig or the reporter? That's
all I know is, Mike, the pig was so upset they had to give it Hambien.
Oh, Jim Amato right now is falling off his chair. Hambien. Hambien. There you go.
I'm sorry I messed up the pig's pronouns. It's a shame.
Oh, my. But that lower deck on that reporter, get some dental work. Jesus, you're on
television. Why he's still in, Mike. That's why he's 58 and he's still in Corpus Christi.
We have to take a break. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, go out and grab this book. She was a lovely lady, and we appreciate her coming on the show. She's Amy Tintero. The book is Listen for the Lie, available in bookstores and on Amazon and bookstores everywhere. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
At first, I thought it was a cat.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara Bonus Show. Get it at michaelmaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Sabrina, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
Ah, you lost again.
This just in, Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime.
Deal extended till January 17th.
See Home Club for details.